The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Aaron, did they tell you, I wasn't able to listen close enough, do they have a source for this E. coli outbreak?
They do not. Yeah, there's no link between any of these patients. Yeah, so they don't know if it's coming from restaurants or anything like that. But what that food safety attorney was telling Cairo 7 TV is that it's the same kind of E. coli that is linked to, if you remember, that big Jack-in-the-Box outbreak back in the early 90s.
Yeah, that's what jumped out at me because I heard you say the attorney's name, Bill Marler.
Right.
He was the attorney who went after Jack in the Box. That was back in, I think, 93.
Exactly.
But, 28 years. And that's why, I was asking if they can pinpoint the source because that was devastating.
Right.
And again, I'm not hammering Jack in the Box today. They made a lot of changes. But back then, it was absolutely devastating because, children died because of the Jack-in-the-Box E. coli outbreak. Now, no child has died from this one?
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah, but, again, six have landed in the hospital. So it is concerning. And the attorney also feels like there's probably more cases out there that have not been confirmed. So there you go.
Yeah. But, it was just from a business standpoint. And my wife, because our girls, when the Jack-in-the-Box thing happened, we had a three-year-old and a newborn, and we didn't have our third kid yet. But my wife, for years and years and years, just refused to go to Jack-in-the-Box just as a consumer punishment for them being linked to those deaths. So, it'll be interesting to see if they find a source for all of that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Okay. With that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The Big Lead Update.
Well, as we told you about a couple of hours ago, and last hour too, the Bellevue School District has rather arbitrarily decided to get rid of school resource officers. These are the Bellevue police officers who are assigned to be in the schools. There's a petition that's been circulating online by a group called Eastside for Black Lives. And they said they were calling upon the superintendent for a full abolition of the student resource officer program in the Bellevue School District. And they say that SROs have not stopped any school shootings, which is just a ridiculous, simplistic argument because we checked with the Bellevue police and they tell us, we only made one arrest in the schools. We're not there to arrest kids. We're there to make the school campuses safer. Now, the one arrest was a felony assault, but they had 6,700 documented interactions with kids and only one arrest. So they're not there to hassle the kids. They're there for education, to build relationships, to deter problems from happening. And understandably, Bellevue parents are not at all happy with this. And one of the moms who's been speaking out, her name is Christine, and she joins me live here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Christine, good to talk to you this afternoon.
You too.
How many kids do you have in the district there?
I have one just graduated, and I have one junior at Sammamish High School. And, this is a big topic these days.
Yeah. Is Sammamish still the Totems?
Yeah, believe it or not, so far.
Do they have to get rid of their nickname because of the Native American thing?
That's a good question. We don't know, but we were actually given the totem from one of our indigenous group years ago. It was like blessed by them, brought to us. We had that discussion with them years ago before I was ever there, and so I don't know why it would be a problem, but I'm sure it's coming.
Well, I just digressed on a wild tangent that has nothing to do with what I wanted to talk with you about. So tell me about the school resource officer issue and how parents like you feel about it.
Well, you know, it had been brought to our attention. I'm a mom that's been very vocal and loud about getting our kids back to school. That was my big focus. It has been since day one of shutdown. Because I'm a teacher. I'm at work right now. I stepped outside. I'm at private school. Been in school the whole time. Okay. Never had an issue. And so I was like, we're killing our kids, you know. So I'm on these forums. I'm part of other groups. And as I was at the council meeting two meetings ago, so in April, the superintendent let it slip. I mean, he literally let it slip that we would no longer have SRO officers. The board was floored. Every parent in there was floored. We had no clue. We had heard murmurings from student groups, you know, that are backed, by the way, by adult groups. It's usually Educators for Justice and all that junk. And they basically said, we're going to get rid of them. Now, the school is saying to us, people from the school, when we talk about it online, say, it's because we don't have enough room to put them. We can only have a certain amount of people. And so one more body apparently is going to throw them over the edge, a police officer. And mostly we're mostly angry about the fact that AR kids are not protected, especially when kids are a little cuckoo and off kilter these days. It's been a little crazy of a year for these older kids, especially. And they never told us. And they lied, and they wouldn't release the findings until just, I think, yesterday.
I was talking with my wife about this because she's a college and career counselor at a local public high school. Same thing. She brought up the same thing, that if there was any time when you want an increased security presence, because it is undeniable that kids have suffered all sorts of anxiety and emotional issues throughout this shutdown, and now they're being put back in the schools, and this has the potential, heaven forbid, but it has the potential to be a very volatile time, just given what we've done to our kids the last year plus.
Absolutely. I mean, we've all had a hard year, but to me, the older kids have suffered the most. In Bellevue, the kids are only back, like, my son goes to school maybe 7 hours a week. And, like, he doesn't even really want to go. And, he's a pretty normal, middle-of-the-road kid, smart. But we made him get a job, and he's been doing a bunch of stuff to keep him, mentally sane. But you can't guarantee anything with kids. And a lot of kids have been suffering from mental illness because of this shutdown. You're throwing them back into, like, this controlled, crazy situation, and now there's no one to keep an eye out. And my experiences with the SROs, which I have a lot of them because I'm very involved with the football team and other volunteer groups, and I've seen them be nothing but kind, and actually especially kind and helpful to the, to the kids that need it. Let's say it that way.
Kids
that are, having trouble. And if anything, if they help them out more than anything, it's the appearance of somebody being there and knowing that that person's there can thwart a lot of issues. So for them to say, we've never had a school shooting, I've seen them. I have seen bomb threats. I've heard of them. We've gotten letters home. There have been children that have to be walked out to their parents' cars for like 6 months straight because they made threats to the school. I've seen fights. Mm-hmm. I've seen all kinds of things, and I know of them from the school, I'm that mom. I'm involved in a lot of stuff, so you hear it all. And so I know for a fact they're doing their job. And for the superintendent to say, well, we did a deal with the Bellevue police, and they said they could be here in 2 minutes. My thing was, well, in a school shooting incident, 2 minutes is how many deaths, and how scared and how terrible.
So what do you think the motivation? I mean, I'm confident that I know what the motivation is, but before I say my thing, what is the motivation from your perspective?
Well, it's I know it for a fact that it is 100% racially driven, and it's politically driven, and it's the superintendent, Ivan Duran, was brought here to push this kind of woke mentality, and then when the shutdowns happened and all of the rioting and the protesting happened, he jumped right on board, and he allowed his union to hold us hostage. He's allowed his union, instead of going back to school, they're supporting groups to have walkouts in the 7 hours of school that my kid is in. They're having, where white people aren't allowed to talk, and, only the BIPOC kids can talk. He even admitted at that meeting where he let it slip that this was happening, that he had only reached out to underserved and BIPOC groups. And we were all like, well, how about the rest of us? How about the other students? Like, what do you think? And then they did a poll, and then they never released it till yesterday, and that was only because of all this attention that's being brought to it.
I would add one thing to it, that there are, and I've seen this in some other school districts, where the school board has gotten increasingly radicalized. And the reason is because of everything you talked about, that everything is about racial division. Everything is about critical race theory. And the normal, sane people do not want to sit through a school board meeting where they're hearing from, you know, so-called community activists and you know, other members of the school board who are so woke. And they have better things to do with their life, sadly. And so the school boards are getting taken over by these radicals who have higher political aspirations, and they think, 100%. Well, if I'm going to be a city council person someday, I'm going to have to, you know, give my bona fides right now by being a radical leftist on the board. Yeah.
Can I tell you another thing that I believe is happening? And because I've born and raised in this area, I went to Bellevue high schools and middle schools and everything. And I will tell you that I believe that they are pushing this so much in Bellevue because all the school districts around us are going back to school more. Their boards are on board. Ours is the one that's a holdout, and they're pushing this critical race theory. I think they're doing it because we have a lot of money in this area, a lot of rich families. They have all pulled their kids out, and they're going to private school, or they move, or they send them to family members in Florida. And the rest of us are stuck here, and we have no voice. And I think they're testing it out on us because I think they like it that they're displacing what they think is, you know, this white hierarchy in this area, which really isn't even true. And, you know, like my son's school is one of the most diverse schools in the entire state. So for them to say, to use it on this district where there's parents that are like, we don't really care, our kids are in private school, you know, I feel that's what's happening now. And I don't believe they're going to put the SROs back in next year. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, you know.
Well, and the great teachers are getting driven away. There's a math teacher at Bellevue High School. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to give his name, but by all accounts, everybody I know has told me that this guy is a fantastic teacher, and he's had it. He's getting out. But here's the thing that, you know, just shocks me. Bellevue used to be considered one of the great school districts in our state, if not the country.
A year ago, Dory. Yeah. A year ago.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why we live in a tiny little house.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. So they are willing to risk the lives of kids just to achieve their social ambitions. That's pretty despicable if that's true.
I think it is true. And I'm telling you because when they released the findings that we saw yesterday, they gave out a little bit of the information. There was absolutely outstanding evidence that people wanted the SROs to stay in the school. All races, all different races in the families, not just white people. And so that's what they were trying to hide. Their poll didn't pan out, you know.
It's really something to watch, this degradation of our society. And again, you know, things like critical race theory are as racist a implementation in our schools than, well, I mean, it's as racist as things were in the 60s at the other end of the spectrum. And
now you have
the radical left has become the greatest racist in our society today. And, you know, for our kids, this is incredibly damaging because everybody's either a victim. Exactly. Well, so what's next? Real quick, what are you guys going to do next?
I mean, my family, we are thinking about sending our son away if they can't give us a straight answer. And, you know, this is the thing, is that it's splitting up families. You know, my husband will have to stay here with my daughter, and I'll have to move with him. We know lots of people that have had to do this, but I want my kid to be safe. I want him to be in person. I want him to have a quote unquote normal childhood, and we're not getting it here, and we're paying for the teeth to live here for nothing. And I don't want to be politicized anymore. It's exhausting. So a lot of us are moving. We're still fighting. You know, we own these schools. These are our schools, and we want it back in, and we want to have some safe, you know, a safe place for all of us to be. So,
well, all I can say is God bless that there are still people like you who are willing to fight for what's important, because I think a lot of people, like you said, it's exhausting, and I think a lot of people have just been beaten into submission by all of this nonsense.
Absolutely.
And the fact that you're still out there fighting, that's a very worthy thing.
Well, we appreciate your help, because you're doing it too, and we need people like you to listen to us. So.
Anytime. All right. Well, it's really nice talking with you, Christine. Thank you. All right.
Thanks.
It's Christine, Bellevue School District mom, Bellevue High, Sammamish High School, and this is what happens when we turn things over to the radicals. And again, you know, my wife works in the public schools. I coached for 10 years in the public schools, and the school resource officers were awesome. And they weren't there to intimidate. They weren't there to racially profile. They were there to make the school safer and to create positive environment, to let kids know that even though what they've been hearing since kindergarten is how hateful cops are and how cops just love to go out and shoot people, that's not who cops are. And to have a school resource officer who can meet these kids one-on-one and let them know that they're not monsters, but that they are dedicated, selfless professionals who just want to make communities better. And again, that's anathema to the left, the radical left. They don't want any healing. They want division. You are either a victim or a bully. You are either an oppressor or the oppressed. And this is really damaging. It's sick. It's absolutely sick. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Aaron Granillo will check the news for you. And then I have a lot of other news to get to, including why did I go off on a rambling tree story last half hour? Well, I'll explain that and lots of other news to get to straight ahead. It's the Dory Monson Show. Rolls on. Lyrics here, Tarek?
The lyrics are in the music.
So this is it?
Well, this is the sound of a tree. I mean, it's calm, peaceful.
This is tree music?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, this is written by a tree. Someone Redwood. Yeah, it wrote the song.
Really?
Yeah, incredible achievement.
All right. Well, I should get my tree story then.
Yeah.
Before I get to my tree story, so the Bob Ferguson story that Aaron just had. So some companies ripped off 400 people, and Bob Ferguson, big, you know, press release, I'm going after them. That's good. That's good. I appreciate that. Consumer Watchdog. Sound Transit has ripped off millions of people for billions of dollars, lied to get their Sound Transit 3 on the ballot. I mean, that's not in dispute. They lied to get Sound Transit 3 on the ballot. They, and this actually ties in with the tree thing as well. They illegally calculate the value of your car tabs. When the people overwhelmingly voted to get rid of the car tab tax, Sound Transit, of course, fought it adamantly and prevailed, of course. If any individual wanted to go after Sound Transit for, you know, a home abatement or any of that, good luck. Sound Transit has hired almost every single major law firm in Western Washington, so none of them could represent somebody against Sound Transit. Bob Ferguson's fine with that. Bob Ferguson will rewrite or redo the English language so illegal tolling could continue on 405. Bob Ferguson is the most dangerous politician in my 26 years on the air that I've ever covered. He is by far the most dangerous politician. He wants to be your next governor after Inslee. Help! So, yeah, speaking of Sound Transit, so I was waxing poetic about trees last half hour because I mentioned that it's ironic that somebody like me, who's considered conservative, libertarian, populist, that I'm a million times bigger environmentalist than the people who run politics around here on the left. And what I cited was, Sound Transit. Tearing down thousands of beautiful trees and I-5, which had a little green buffer between North Gate and going up to Linwood. I-5 is just even more of a concrete jungle because Sound Transit had to tear down trees. All the politicians needed to tear down the trees. I love trees. I mentioned my rope swing tree. I mentioned my favorite tree in the world on the East Canyon wall of the Columbia River, about 3 miles north of the BB Bridge. I talked to Windermere's chief economist a couple of weeks ago, who said all of Seattle should be upzoned. Not all, but much more. Seattle should be upzoned so we can tear down these single-family houses and build duplexes and triplexes and fourplexes. And I think that's a horrible idea. A lot of houses with yards are your own personal place of refuge, solitude, peace. But when you get, and I asked the guy, I said, look, you work for Windermere. Your company will benefit greatly if there's a lot more inventory to be sold if we start putting up, 3, 4, 5-unit condos on what used to be a single-family house. Government wants that. Why? Because they want the tax money. Isn't it ironic that the person who's more conservative, me, loves trees more than the people who claim to be environmentalists? Because if they can build a light rail train that'll suck $100 billion out, if they can tear down single-family houses where maybe the kids have a little tree house in the backyard. I had a tree house when I was a kid. It's lovely. Actually, it's the most rickety thing ever. But it was lovely to me. But now let's tear down all the trees. Let's tear them all down. And I bring this up because down in Olympia, Gary Horker, our buddy at Cairo 7 News, he... Like I'm talking about with the upzoning in Seattle. He's very upset because developers there want to tear down a 150-foot red cedar tree. Beautiful tree. The developer wants to build a new neighborhood there. And that means taking out all the old, big, beautiful trees.
It's a beautiful tree.
When Andrew Hanna moved into his rural Olympia property, this old, tall red cedar tree was one of many he could see beyond his once heavily wooded backyard until recently.
It shows a lack of concern.
When the view changed. A developer's plans to build a new neighborhood here, including clearing out a lot of old trees. Andrew took this photo for perspective, surrounded by the timber. He's 6'2".
I don't like a 124-year-old tree knocked down. It shook my house like an earthquake.
But all of that happened off of Andrew's property, except for this red cedar, which he says stands on the boundary between the two properties.
Majority of it is on his property. Only a portion of it is on my property.
But state law says technically if two property owners share part of a tree, they both have to agree about what happens to it. So when someone came to cut it down, Andrew stood in the way.
And I said, no, I own part of that tree. You have to have my permission and you don't have it. To which the The foreman replied, well, I can cut it down from my side without ever entering your property. And I said, well, can you do that with me leaning against my side of the tree? And he said, no, but I can call the police.
The police came and left, and the city of Olympia seems to be staying out of this personal property dispute. But Andrew points out,
this will not go back in my lifetime.
The city of Olympia's tree protection ordinance clearly encourages preserving trees. We reached out to the contractor and...
Okay, I'm going to jump in on this. Again, this points out the city of Olympia, where, you know, you want to talk about a mayor and city council that's gone full-blown woke. And they always claim to be environmentalists. But a developer, if he builds brand new construction, property tax revenues will go up. They love money. They don't love trees. I love trees. The guy who's skeptical about the impact man has on global warming. Me. I'm much more of an environmentalist than the woke left around here. All they care about is money, money, money. Whether it's Sound Transit and I-5 trees, upzoning throughout Seattle, or a beautiful 150-foot red cedar in Olympia.
We didn't hear back.
The foreman told me that he himself was going to cut it down and he was going to love every minute of it.
So Andrew says without an agreement, the fate of this tree could end up in court.
And it's not because necessarily that tree has to stay. It's because people should not be pushed around.
Money! It's all that matters to the radical left. Please remember that. Please remember the insincerity of their words about how much they care. Okay, coming up, today's sign and favorite sound bites of the day, all straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. With still much more to do, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day. You have awesome audio?
We don't have the awesome audio opener.
That's okay.
It's all good.
No problem.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. We'll get into the sound bites here. So a few days ago, we played for you Joe Biden with a rambling, nonsensical story about Amtrak. And we don't know if Joe is, you know, just an out-and-out liar, like with Corn Pop and this yarns he would spin. But they did an analysis, and it could very well be that it is dementia. But Joe's Amtrak story, none of it added up.
There was an article, my fourth or fifth year as president, vice president, saying Biden travels 1,300,000 miles on Air Force One. And I used to, the Secret Service didn't like it, but I used to like to take the train home. My mom was sick, and I'd try to come home almost every weekend as vice president to see her. And I was getting on the train, and Angelo Negri came up and he goes, Joey, baby! And he grabbed my cheek, started to squeeze it like he always did. And I thought he was going to get shot. I'm serious. And I said, no, he's a friend. He said, Joey, what's the big deal? 1,200,000, 300,000 miles on Air Force Two. You know how many miles you travel on Amtrak? I said, no, Ange, I don't know. And he gave me the calculation. And he said, you travel 1,515,000 miles on Amtrak. So the fact is, I'd probably take Ange's word before I took the word of what the article said. But the point is, in the process, as Conductor Reeve will tell you, Amtrak became my family.
Oh, it was Joe Dunn. All right, fascinating tale, Joe. And the math, the timeline, none of it made any sense at all. Joe Rogan has reached, he's one of the most successful podcasters in the world. He's reached many of the same conclusions about the vaccine as I have, that for young people, If you want to get it, get it. If you don't want to get it, don't get it. The upside of getting the vaccine for a young, healthy person is minuscule. The downside is probably minuscule, but we don't know when it's been so untested. But man, I tell you what, the media hates Joe Rogan because he has a different opinion than what we're all supposed to spew. We're all supposed to spew the exact same government-approved language, you know, the CNN, MSNBC-approved language. And so people like me and Joe Rogan, man, the rest of the media just can't stand those who don't toe the line.
We know the anti-vaxxer conspiracy theories have been proliferating online, but it doesn't help it when people with major platforms feed that beast. Like Spotify's $100 million man, Joe Rogan.
Dr. Fauci, before I let you go, I do want you to weigh in on Joe Rogan. How frustrating is it for you for this misinformation to continue to spread about COVID-19, especially when there are folks still out there saying it's a hoax?
It's disappointing. Joe Rogan is a hugely influential person with a massive audience. It's mystifying why he would give people such bad information that puts them in harm's way.
Joe Rogan, who is one of the world's highest paid and most popular podcast hosts, is giving air to anti-vaccine narratives.
First of all, it's so wildly misreported what they're saying. Secondly, instead of focusing on Joe Rogan because he has a different opinion, why don't you just present your differing opinion and then let people decide? But this happens to me all the time. You know, that instead of just saying, I disagree with you, I'll give you my reasons why. You know, whether it's, you know, newspaper people or other radio people, whatever. Instead, it's they're just obsessed with me personally instead of just giving another opinion. But again, that's the tyranny of the radical left. In Utah, they had a boxing match and a school board meeting broke out because the parents are sick and tired of the mask orders for their kids.
I move that we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second. We have a motion to adjourn and a second. All in favor, say aye.
So they're going to leave. Look at the control.
The people have had it. They've had it with the tyranny. All right. And before we get out of here, it is time for today's edition of
The Sign.
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign that the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline, New York State. We do not know the... Bring it down a little bit. We don't know the gender of this parent, but we do know that a New York parent has gone to court to overturn the state's incest laws. You see, this parent wants to marry their own adult child. This is in the New York Post. Incest right now is a third-degree felony, punishable by up to 4 years in the clink. Incestuous marriages between ancestor and descendant, siblings, uncle, aunt, nephew, niece, they're all void. You get fines, you get jail time. But a parent wants to marry their kid in New York. This could only happen in Biden's America. That's today's sign, the end is near, and I got to get out of here. Tom Curley Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and we'll see you back here for Friday Extravaganza tomorrow. I know.
Now, good day, sir.
I say good day. Now, good day.
Good day.
Good day.
I say good day.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.